first thing I want to say is this. I could caveat everything I'm going to say today to death. You could take issue with everything I'm going to say. I just can't caveat it all. Sometimes you just want to go after something and just get on it. I'm going to go after pleasure without caveating references to alcohol, caveating all the financial issues, caveating all that. I just want to go after that. I want to go after everything that we talk about here at Crossroads. We have talked about things like what it means to die to self. And we give out tangible objects. Today I've given out a tangible object for you, kazoo. Kazoo, we give out tangible objects to mean things every once in a while. We give out a tangible objects of dog tags years ago, signifying that when you get closer to Jesus, there comes a moment where you decide to die to self. You put aside all of your desires, you die to yourself and live for God. And it's like being in the military when you wear a dog tag. If you're in the military and you have dog tags on, it's because you're not owned by anybody other than the government. The government owns you. And when you die, they have something around your neck to say where to ship your body to. Boy, that makes you feel good, doesn't it? But we actually gave away dog tags, signifying dying to Christ. Is anybody in here still wearing those dog tags? Oh, good. Well, glad we spent all the money on that. Yes, wearing dog tags. We also gave out keys signifying unlocking yourself and having God unlock you and free you. And today we're going to give you kazoos that signify God wants you to have fun. God wants you to have pleasure. It's hard to have a kazoo and not just blow one. In fact, I got to say, you guys might be the stiffest tight butt crowd we've had all weekend. I mean, if I walked into a place and somebody gave me a kazoo, I'd be blowing on it the whole time. Let me tell you how this works. You can actually buy a book at Joseph Beth on how to play a kazoo. You put your mouth on the large end. I think we have that book scan up here for you if you want it. And let's just try to put it in and just go. We're so thankful the previous service dropped these off in the bags before they left. No, these are brand new fresh kazoos you get to take home. Amazing kazoos, wonderful. there's a bunch of ducks in here, wonderful. We're gonna talk about pleasure and how God's lavish pleasure isn't just experienced in the eternal hereafter in heaven. God's lavish pleasure, his lavish abundance is to be experienced right here, right now. Let me pray about that. God, I'm asking that you help me be clear. You help all of us sense your clarity, and you help all of us encounter you in every way possible in the here and now. I pray for these things in your name. Amen. Ecclesiastes 9:7 in the Old Testament portion of the Bible. This is a portion of the Bible where supposedly the fuddy-duddy God resides, the angry, ornery God of the Old Testament resides. And look what it says, Ecclesiastes 9:7. Go, eat your food with gladness, drink your wine with a joyful heart, for it is now that God favors what you do. Right now, not in the future, not in heaven, right now, God approves. God favors what you do, so have some good food and some good drink. You know, I want to live in the lavish pleasure of God where I'm sensing God's approval, his pleasure right now. Right now. And our best memories of our parents are probably the moments when we felt their approval on us right in the moment, when we actually had fun with them. Many of us, our favorite movie or one of our favorite movies is Field of Dreams. Some of us dig that movie, Field of Dreams. I find, especially with guys have a soft spot in their heart with that movie because the imagery of an adult son being able to reunite with his father and play catch with him brings out the best of our childhoods when we had fun with our dads, when we had fun with our parents. It told us that our parents approved of us. They like being in our presence. And God loves to be in our presence. He loves when we are in his presence. And there's something special that happens when we're having fun and we're enjoying pleasure. Why is it that all those beautiful landscapes on that song were seen? It's because not just that God has a scientific aspect of his personality, he also has an artistic aspect of his personality. Art is for pleasure, it's for enjoyment, and God has painted landscapes that are there for us to find pleasure in and soak them in. Are our eardrums with us only so we can communicate, or may they also be with us so we can enjoy amazing classical music or butt rock? Or rap, or whatever it is, whatever your preferred mode of music is. I believe that's part of what God wants to do, is experience the pleasure with our ears, taste buds. Some atheistic evolutionists would say that we have taste buds only so we could taste berries to make sure they weren't poisonous so we could propagate our species. Oh my goodness, that is not my view of taste buds at all. Maybe helpful that way, but God wanted you and I to experience flavors exploding in our mouth. That's there purely as a sign of pleasure. What is it in your life that you go after for pure pleasure?
What's wrong with this picture? What's wrong with this picture is I'm not moving. When I'm on two wheels and I start to move, something happens. What happens is fun happens, pleasure happens. I've actually been known to be on a motorcycle and when I get home, actually have sun creases in my face because I've been smiling. I actually have my cheek muscles cramp up because I've been smiling, not because anyone told me anything funny, but because I'm experiencing something in the here and now that's making me totally detached from my world. I notice when my kids have fun, I have fun. And guess what? When you have fun, God has fun. God has created us with the capacity to have fun, to have purposeless activity. Don't worry about being purpose-driven. I want you this week to worry about having fun, having purposelessness. There's a word for you. Pleasureful activity. When you find that, you find a grace of God that is not just the grace that gets you someplace in the eternal way off in the future, but actually helps you experience the lavish love of God in the here and now. That's what we're talking about this week. We need to get some of that. Stop sign. Crap.
And yes. Get some of that. Get some. One of these ancient stories in the Bible is when the nation of Israel is in bondage to Egypt and Moses, the leader, and his sidekick Aaron go to Pharaoh to petition a reprieve. And look what happens in the book of Exodus chapter 5, verse 1. It says this. Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go so they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness." Not hold time of silence and fasting. Hold a festival. What do you do at a festival? You are festive. I don't know what they did at their festival. I don't know if they had like dunking booze, they dunked the prophet, or if they had, I have no idea what they, but they was to come over and have a festival, to have pleasure in the presence of God. This tells us something about the personality of God that too many people have forgotten about or poo-poo, and I want to strike that chord within us and grow something inside of you that may have long lost that needs to happen if you're to thrive in this life and thrive with God. Jesus, God himself, taking on flesh, the firstborn of all creation, the very Son of God, comes and does a menagerie of great teachings and miracles. And it tells us something when we see the context of his very first miracle. Most of us love wedding receptions. Wedding receptions are like a free party we get to go to. And our receptions in our day only last a few hours, but in Jesus' day, receptions would last for days. Wedding parties would last for days. And as they're into this multi-day festive affair, they run out of wine. And Jesus' mother comes and asks him to make a quick run to UDF or wherever he's supposed to go to get it. She just wants him to figure this out. There's a bunch of deep and subtle things that are happening here, but let's not miss the main thing that happens here. Jesus decides to perform his first miracle. His first miracle is turning water into wine. He keeps the party going. That's what he does. Now, I've heard some uptight preachers talk about, well, this wasn't really wine. It was more like a thick grape mash. Come on. The clue phone is ringing, and it's for you. Let's take a look at what the wine steward says once he tastes this wine. Here's what it says. "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine, the Mad Dog 2020, after the guests have had too much to drink. But you've saved the best for now." Normally when the taste buds get dull, they bring out the really needy red. But no, you brought out the best for right now. Let me tell you what. The reason why many of us have a hard time with God is we view God as somebody who's constantly trying to keep us from laughing, keep us from having, laughing. There's no other created being that laughs for pleasure. None. I believe it's another sign that God has given us the capacity to laugh and have fun. There's all kinds of things I think God has a great personality with. Farting. Who doesn't laugh when you fart? Come on. Who laughs when they fart? Who? Me, I do. I honestly think that God could have figured out many other ways to relieve our gastronal whatever other than that, but he gets a kick out of it. Honestly, I think that's part of his person. When I laugh, because I'm created in the image of God, we're created in the image of God. When we laugh, it says something about God because we're the only creature that has the ability to laugh. It says something. And yet this is a far cry from some of the relationships that we may have had in our family or with our parents. Your best memories of being with your parents are when you were in the midst of pleasure. Best memories. I'm thankful that my parents disciplined me. I'm thankful they spanked me. I deserved to be spanked. I'm glad I didn't like it in the moment, but I realized it was helpful for me. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for all the things that my parents taught me in terms of moral upbringing. I'm thankful my dad really instilled in me, don't cut in line. I'm thankful for all those things. But I tell you, the things that cemented our relationship, the things I remember the most, are those moments of pleasure. And some of us, hanging out with our parents is like going to the dentist. I mean, we know we should do it, but there's just not that much pleasure. And if you, in your relationship with God, believe that there's certain things that you have to do, God basically has become your dentist. Yeah, I guess a little religion is good for me. But if you can see that God is a parent that wants to enjoy you, lavish pleasure on you, and make you laugh, you're missing something. I, as a parent, love to see my kids having fun. And if you're a parent and your kids aren't having fun, you know that, oh no, this is not good. You try to figure out what activity to get them in. You try to figure out how to solve this problem. Because kids that aren't enjoying pleasure are a problem. And I'm asking you to consider that if you're not enjoying pleasure, lavish over-the-top pleasure in your life, there's a problem that's brewing or has already come to roost. You start looking at the Bible from these lenses, things start popping out. I'll show you a verse right now that Bible Thumpers Anonymous won't share with you. Watch this, Deuteronomy chapter 14. Here's what happens. This again, the God of the Old Testament, but if that place is too distant where you're supposed to go and take your tithe, the 10% of your possessions to give them over to God, if it's too distant and you've been blessed by the Lord your God and cannot carry your tithe because the place where the Lord will choose to put his name is so far away, then exchange your tithe for silver. Take the silver with you and go to the place the Lord your God will choose. Use the silver to buy whatever you like, cattle, sheep, wine, or other fermented drink, or anything you wish. Then you and your household shall eat there in the presence of the Lord your God and rejoice. God says, here's the deal. You know what? You guys are getting too heavy. Instead of giving the tithe, go party hardy, buy party supplies, have a party. Hey, it's not my idea. That's in the Bible. That's God who says that. And we have a hard time believing that God would say this. There is an outage in our relationship with God. You know, a lot of churches, when a preacher says something people like it, they go, oh, amen. Or hallelujah. I mean, if you hear anything today that you like at all, you should just bring it out and say, There should be kazoos going all over this place. And you should like it. Oh, yes. See, I can speak to those of us who are fuddy-duddies and can't have fun, can't laugh, because I used to be like one of you. In fact, I still have those tendencies inside of my life. Yes, I like that. I think someone did just fart right here. I couldn't tell if that was kazoo or not. But where was I? Where was I? People who built into me early spiritually made me very paranoid about fun, made me very paranoid about pleasure. And this still comes out sometimes. A couple weeks ago, I was talking about Steve Jobs being an evangelist, being a bearer of good news with technology. And I talked about the iPad, and I called it the iFad. Because practically, for me, I can't see why an iPad, for me, would make sense. If I have a laptop and a smartphone, I can't see it. So therefore, since I don't see a practical way that it would help me produce more, it's just pleasure and it's an iPad. Hey, what if you just like it? What if you just like it? I had some people who were building into me early and made me very paranoid about dogs. We had to put our dog down a few weeks ago, real bummer. The good thing about it, though, is then you start thinking about getting another dog. And I used to think about it a long time ago, how if you had a dog, it was a frivolous activity that was wasteful. Seriously, God really built into me. He said, all the money you're going to spend buying a dog or feeding a dog or a vet dog, you're feeding a dog when people all over the world are dying of starvation. Nobody should own a dog. And I thought, oh, that's so well. That's very, very true. Hey, what if there's just animals or beings that God wants you to have fun with? What if it's okay to have fun with animals, other created things? It doesn't need to make sense. It's called pleasure. It's called enjoying them. Why are the dog lovers not honking on me here with your kazoos right now? You guys are still not getting this. I understand people don't want to have fun. And I'm telling you, if you don't want to have fun, you don't know how to have fun, you think pleasure is somehow dirty. I'm telling you right now, you're missing a passion for God. You just are. There's a passion, an enjoyment of God that is missing from life. A book that is a great primer on this is called Pure Pleasure by Gary Thomas. Awesome book, fascinating book. One of the things that he says is all of us are wired for pleasure. One way or another, you will have it. And for some of us, we deny pleasure. We deny ourselves pleasure. We think we can't afford it. We think that it's not good. But eventually, you will have it. It will manifest itself as an adulterous affair. Or it will manifest itself as being at a reception or being somewhere where you can sneak alcohol and overuse it and abuse it, and all of a sudden you've had a secret addiction that takes you away. One way or another, pleasure will come out in your life. And so the key is noticing that I'm a being that needs pleasure, that desires pleasure. I want to have it here right now. Last week somebody said to me, gosh, do you actually work? Like, what do you do all week? I actually do work. I do. I normally start my workday at 7:30 a.m. at my house. Before that, I have personal time where I read the Bible, I pray, and then at 7:30, I start working on things from home. I normally come into the office then at about 9 o'clock, leave the office at 6 or 6:15. I do that Monday through Thursday, and then Saturday and Sunday, I'm pretty much working, you know, most of the weekend, especially when I'm on stage. Assuming I don't have any evening meetings, an average work week for me, a normal work week is 55 hours. And I used to really fixate on, okay, how long should I be working? 40 hours, 50 hours, 60 hours, 70 hours? What's the right work week? Right now, I find myself thinking more about how am I going to experience pleasure this week? What are the moments where I'm going to take time out to experience fun and thank God for that in the midst of it? God applauds that. He does applaud that. With my relationship with my kids, I realize the bonding agent with my kids with me is going to be having pleasure with them. My oldest daughter's in college right now. She got a scholarship to college. Yes. Amen. Yes. So we told her, hey, if that happens, what little we have savings, we're going to buy you a car. So we did that. We actually added some more money to it. Bought her this little used car, really great gas mileage, but wanted to get her one with a sunroof. What is the point and purpose of a sunroof? Pleasure. Nothing. Has no purpose at all. Doesn't give you better gas mileage. Doesn't get you. But I want her, when she's in that car, to know that Dad is about her having a car where she has a sunroof. I want her to be reminded that her father has her best intentions and wants to cheer her on. And I'm telling you, that's what God wants for you. He wants to remind you that God is about you having fun, pleasure, enjoying all of His creation. He is not holding out. And four things that happen when I'm living in the lavish pleasure of God. When I'm living in the lavish pleasure of God, it feels good. Yeah, I just said it. Yes. Listen to that. Come on. Yes. It feels good. Why is it that we feel guilty if something feels good? God has given us a nose to smell good smells, ears to hear great sounds, nerve endings to feel good. It is okay to feel good when I'm in the lavish pleasure of God. I'm feeling good. One guy who is an older guy who has been referred to as the evangelical pope or the Protestant pope, his name is J.I. Packer. Check this guy out here. I mean, this guy looks like he has no idea what pleasure is. I feel sorry for him right there. Hard thing. I mean, that guy, my goodness. But let's listen to what he says. Here's what he says. He says this: contempt for pleasure, so far from arguing superior spirituality, is actually the sin of pride. Pleasure is divinely designed to raise our sense of God's goodness. deepen our gratitude to him and strengthen our hope of richer pleasures to come in the next world. It reminds me that God is good. It reminds me that there's greater stuff happening. I get to enjoy this aspect of God's personality right now. And I don't know what this pleasure is for you. I don't know what it is. Certainly riding a motorcycle is one of them for me. It's all different kinds of things. I don't know if it's Sudoku, getting a novel at the library, going to a park, water skiing, mountain climbing, biking, hiking, playing checkers with your neighbors. I don't know what it is. But it is pointless, meaning you're not producing anything. You are not a machine. People create machines, but you are not a machine that's here to just endlessly produce. You're here to enjoy your Heavenly Father who loves it when his children are in a good place and feel good. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, where there's a word that comes to people who have a lot of money, and here's what it says. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyments. Not richly provides us with everything so we can be productive. Not richly provides us with everything so we can do our fair share. He richly provides us with everything for our enjoyments, for us to feel good. When I'm in the pleasure of God, living the lavish, overflowing pleasure of God, I'm aware of his goodness and I feel good. Another thing that happens is that when I'm in the lavish pleasure of God, sensing it, I lose time. It causes me to lose time. What is it that you do that you lose time in? You forget how late it's gotten. You could do it over and over and over again. Years and years and years ago, golf used to be that for me. I used to love golf, couldn't get enough of it. I haven't been into golf for, long time. Long, long, long time now. I'll do golf once or twice a year because there's some event that'd be good for me to go to. But I'll tell you, when I go play golf right now, I'm like this. When is this over? I thought a round was supposed to be about 4 hours. I'm going on five. My goodness. For you, you may lose yourself in golf, but for me, I don't play enough to hit the ball long and straight any longer, so it's just not fun. It's not pleasurable for me. I need things that cause me to detach, which are absolutely purposeless. They have no point other than having fun. Stuart Brown is an MD. He studied neurochemistry and actually founded an organization called the National Institute for Play. That's a company you want to work for right there, the National Institute for Play. And here's what he says. He says this, play appears purposeless. It produces pleasure and joy. It leads one to the next stage of mastery. It appears to be the product of divinely superfluous neurons. When one doesn't play in adulthood, there are consequences: rigidity, depression, lack of adaptability. I'd add to that, rigidity, depression, lack of adaptability, manic depressant, adulterous affairs, addictions, lack of friends. I mean, it just happens. He goes on and he studies the neurochemistry of different canines, and he's found there's differences in the neurochemistry of a wolf and a lab. Both those beings, when they're young, they play. It's a natural thing to play around with a little litter of puppies. But then as a wolf gets older, he totally gets away from play. He gets fixated on marking his territory, obviously hunting for his survival, mating and propagating his line. Play goes away, whereas the lab, every day is a good day to play. And he says, in terms of neurochemistry, we have more in common with the lab than a wolf, though most of us have wolf-like behavior. We feel guilty if we're being a silly body, if I haven't checked anything off of my to-do list. This is one of the reasons I believe that God institutes festivals and actually says sometimes in the Old Testament, if you don't go to the festival, I will kill you. How about that one? You will party or I will kill you. It reminds us that I'm here to enjoy God, not to be a productivity machine. And I don't know who sold us a bill of goods that said the closer you get to God, the less pleasure you have. As I said, this is all through the Old Testament. It's all through the Newer Testament part of the Bible. Even Even people who we view as religious fuddy-duddies got this right. John Calvin is arguably the grandfather, great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather of every Protestant denomination. His beliefs, interpretations of the Bible, filter on into the Presbyterian denomination, the Lutheran, all of them. And John Calvin lived in the 1600s. In his annual pay package, his agreement with the people who oversee him, in his annual pay package, there was 250 gallons of wine that were to come his way for him and entertaining his guests. Any Crossroads board members here? Good idea right there. Very, very. Actually, I would go more for beer than wine. I'm not so much of a wine guy, but 250 gallons. This is John Calvin, the Puritans. We talk about people who are just not fun. We call them puritanical. Let me tell you about the Puritans. The Puritans were obviously the rebels that left England. They were the religious rebels that left England and came and established our country. The first building the Puritans built was a brewery. Not a church, a brewery. The Puritans, now it starts going out. That's right, now it starts going out. You know, Puritans loved to ice skate, bowling, archery. These were all forms of entertainment. They also were very strict on adhering to the Bible, and they would do church discipline. Crossroads, we do church discipline every once in a while too, where you discipline somebody, and sometimes the highest octane amount of church discipline is when you pull somebody up before a crowd and they have to confess their sin. Every once in a while, it's very helpful and healthy. But we've never done the kind of church discipline the Puritans did. They would actually bring up men and discipline them publicly for not meeting the sexual pleasures of their wife. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? I'm sorry, you're just not pleasing your wife. We need to discipline you right now. That's the Puritans. This is the Puritans. And somehow, we believe that sex is only to procreate. God has made it pleasurable because God is a God of pleasure. You have to find what it is that renews your energy. When I'm living in the pleasure of God, it renews my energy. It is a renewable energy, all of us. All of us are into renewable energy. We talk about solar power or hydropower. Renewable energy. When I'm living in the pleasure of God, it is something that renews my energy. I had a bit of a wake-up call a number of years ago. I was at another city, and I was waiting for a cab. And I remember waiting for this cab and seeing this guy at the next station down, extremely overweight. It was at night, extremely overweight. He was jamming a cheeseburger in his face while chain-smoking cigarettes at the same time. And I looked at him and said, man, that looks good. That just looks... I thought for a moment, why can't I have a life like that? And when I saw that, I realized, okay, Brian, something is about to break inside of you. If that looks fun, you're not having enough fun right now. You're not. Something is about to break. What is it inside of you that renews your energy? I am not anti-gambling. I am anti-old people playing slot machines. We're gone to a casino and see old folks in front of the slot machines like, I mean, in the old days, at least you used to pull a lever and like have some thing. No, it's just like. No one's ever walking out of the slot machines energized. You see pictures of people who won a lot of money, but come on. They're not energized. There's no renewable energy. What is it for you that renews your energy and reminds you there is a God who approves and overflows on you and has given you the capacity to feel and to feel good? I need to find the things that renew my energy. And also, on the front end, none of these things make sense. They don't look like it's needed. And then a lot of things, these things will cost money. Sometimes I want to buy something for a motorcycle that only looks good. It has no functional ability at all. It's a piece of chrome, and I like it. Libby and I went the other day to replace our closet. We've had the old wire thing up in the closet, and it's been there for years and years and years. All of a sudden, it just collapsed. The closet just collapsed. Oh, man, good clothes everywhere. Pulled all the clothes out, rebent the stuff, put it back up, put in more screws in the wall. 24 hours later, it all collapsed again. I'm like, crap. Got to spend money in a freaking closet. Like, that's, happy, happy, joy, joy. So we go to look at closets. Of course, Lib's all excited about closets. Closets, oh, she's all excited about closets. And we go, and we've got this, like, wiry closet, but you can get these little birch, like, little blocks of wood that clamp on the front. doesn't help the clothes at all. I don't need Birch stuff. All I need is to put my clothes someplace and they don't leave when I'm gone. That's all I need. I don't need, but for her, it's a thing of pleasure to open up the doors and, oh, little Birch trim. Okay, fine, whatever. We'll spend the money on the Birch. It's a sign of pleasure. Don't you hate when hyper-religious people are holding signs telling you stuff? Recently, I was out west riding a motorcycle. I have friends. We take a trip every year, and one of them has a trucking company, so we load all these motorcycles in the back of the truck. It drives out there. I use frequent flyer miles with Delta. I fly out there, meet my motorcycle. God bless America, right? And we just kind of cruise around, and our last night before we took the flight the next morning was in Albuquerque. And this religious fanatic on this party avenue where we were hanging out that night had this sign. Check it out. It said this: God is in a good mood. Now that's a religious fanatic I can identify with. Well, why is it that we always have to have signs that say, God is very angry, he's gonna get you. Turn or burn, get right or get left. How about God's in a good mood? How about God invented smiling? How about God invented laughter? See, when I am in pleasure, it reminds me that God's good. When I am in the midst of feeling good things, having my energy renewed, losing time, knowing that God has created me for this capacity, it reminds me that God is good. Reminds me of that. I mean, my dad, my parents, you know, all of us with our parents, we've got issues with them one level or another. I'll tell you, the things that are seared in my mind, one event especially, is being a little kid, playing wiffle ball with my dad tossing me a wiffle ball and just smacking the wiffle ball and him going and running and chasing down the wiffle ball, pitching it again and smacking it again. And I remember as the sun was going down, it was getting dark, my dad throwing that wiffle ball, smacking again over his head, him turning and running after that wiffle ball, seeing the sweat that was coming down the center of his back. And he went and grabbed it again and pitched it again. I have that in my mind. And I tell you what, I know my dad's good. My dad is just, it's those moments are seared. My dad is good. And if we don't allow ourselves the ability to laugh, to smile, to feel, to see stars and lie out on grass and just stare at stars, to do whatever it is, you will not remember that God is good. Pleasure reminds me that God's good. The other night, someone reminded me of this yesterday. We had our last Wednesday service this last Wednesday. And afterwards, we do a debrief. How'd that go? How can we improve next time? And one of the guys said, I hadn't even thought of it. All of a sudden at 9 o'clock, I said, I'm sorry, I got to go. I got to go home because I got to watch the American Idol finale with my daughter. It's what we do for fun, watch American Idol. Really kind of struck him with that. You know, my kids will be most blessed by the moments that I enjoy life with them and encourage pleasure. I want to remind them that dad is good, mom is good, we have their best intentions at heart. I spend money on this stuff, I do. I bought a second motorcycle, bought one used, I have to still kind of justify it, bought a used second motorcycle. And the main reason I bought it is because I want to be able to ride with my son. I take great pleasure that my son, who's now 17, knows no other kid at all that has had a dad foster the process of getting a motorcycle license. I love that. And I have to believe that one of the reasons why I don't have a lot of rebellious stuff happening with Jake right now, which I was doing at 16, 17, is because my son is living pleasure to the fullest hilt with me and around me. He doesn't need to rebel because he knows I'm for his pleasure. I'm for him encountering things. I'm telling you, God is good. God is good. He is for you. He has given you the capacity to feel. And he wants to remind you, God is good. He wants to remind you of that. Last verse, James 1, 16 to 17, it says this. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above. Not every good and understandable thing, not every productivity tool is from above. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Everything that is good in your life comes from your heavenly Father who wants you to have pleasure. Everything that you have that renews your energy, everything that causes you to lose time, everything that takes place that causes you to feel good in the godliest sense of all that is, comes from God. And that God doesn't change. His values don't change. The same God who said, take your tithe and throw a party. The same God who said, get them out so we can have a festival. The same God who the first miracle was turning water into wine. The same God that's given you the capacity to taste luscious flavors is the same God who sits here right now and looks at some of you and says, ah, man, lighten up, have fun. I am troubled. Well, my kids can't detach and just be silly. I'm troubled. I'm asking you to consider that God may be troubled because he loves you more than you love your own life. He wants you to love this life, not just to hold out for heaven in the future, but right now to encounter his goodness. Why don't we stand right now? And we're going to sing this song again, which shows both sides of the same coin. God's eternal truths of laying down his life, his incredible lavish displays of love, and the ability for us to enjoy it here in the now. You might want to sing this. You might want to kazoo it. Either one is cool. Let's experience this together.